Well, please take your Bibles and go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 is where we're going to start this morning. Last week, we didn't read this verse, but I had mentioned this verse. And this morning, we're going to look a little bit in God's Word about faithfulness. And so I thought, this is a good verse to start. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, at the end of his life, the Apostle Paul said, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I have fought the good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. You know, before Paul got born again, he was very faithful at persecuting Christians. Very faithful, very committed. But after he got born again, for the rest of his life, he was very faithful to God. And when we talk about faithful, we're talking about being reliable, being trustworthy. A mechanic can be trustworthy and reliable. A handyman can be trustworthy and reliable. An employee can be a very faithful employee. But we're considering this morning being trustworthy, reliable, faithful to God and His Word. And there's a lot of examples of people that you can read about in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, not just the Apostle Paul. The Scriptures say God found Abraham's heart faithful. Joseph, how about that being faithful? All those years before he became number two in Egypt, just stayed faithful. Daniel, oh my gosh, decades through many different rulers, he stayed in government positions, very faithful. David was faithful. If you read in Nehemiah, in the rebuilding of Jerusalem, there's two guys, Hanani and Hananiah. They were put in charge, Scriptures say, because they were faithful. And there were others who were put in charge of other things because they were faithful. So we have many examples in the Scriptures of men and women who were faithful. Go to the book of Numbers, chapter 12. We'll see a great example here. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers, chapter 12. If you get to Deuteronomy, you went just a little too far. Numbers, chapter 12. Not too long after Moses brought them out of the land of Egypt, and Moses had a brother called Aaron who was very instrumental in going to Pharaoh. Remember, Moses says, I can't talk. I'm not. God said, fine, Aaron will do the talking. I'll tell you what to say. You tell Aaron, hey, he'll talk to Pharaoh. How about that? Okay. So Aaron has been side by side with his brother Moses, and they also had a sister named Miriam. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he, Moses, had married an Ethiopian woman. Oh my gosh. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? I mean, we hear from God. This is a pretty interesting record here. Ego is not in the category of faithfulness. I think we'll see that here. You know, God's word says that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble, humble, humble. Well, anyway, the Lord heard them. Now, the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Moses was the meekest man of everybody living at that time. The greatest humble heart toward God than anybody. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come ye out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. I don't know how that happened, but God just said, you three, over here. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And, oh, just those two. And they both came forth. So the three of them are there. Aaron and Miriam, you come over here. Okay. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. And they're probably thinking, yep, sounds like us. My servant Moses is not so. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, then, were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Ooh. Ooh. That's pretty direct, isn't it? That's very direct. Very direct. There's a difference between being confident and being egotistical. It's a big difference. And I think this section in the scriptures really shows the contrast very clearly. Humility goes along with being faithful. So my servant Moses, back there in verse 7, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. It says the same thing in Hebrews chapter 3, if you would turn there. Faithful, reliable, trustworthy. Going all the way to the book of Hebrews now. Right before James. Hebrews chapter 3. Wherefore, verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 3, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him. Who appointed him? God. Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. In all God's house, meaning over all the affairs of God. And here Jesus Christ's faithfulness is compared with Moses' faithfulness. Isn't that something? And then verse 5 says, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. So twice here in Hebrews, Moses faithful in all God's house, and once in Deuteronomy, faithful in all God's house. Really something. It's great, it's admirable to be a reliable mechanic. It's admirable to be a trustworthy handyman. It's admirable to be a faithful employee. But in talking about the things of God, being faithful is one who believes God consistently. Not a once in a while believer, not a committed believer on Sunday mornings only, not a casual once in a while reading of the scriptures, but consistently believing God day by day by day by day. Look at back up to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, a verse that's probably familiar to you. Faithfulness. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, or that a woman be found faithful. Being faithful is a day-by-day-by-day walk of believing God. And that would mean not just believing what God says, but also doing what God says in His Word, right? Years ago, we were living in Brooklyn, and there was a lady who was, I forget how old she was. She was probably around 26, 27, and had been looking for a job and got a job at a burger place. And then I was talking to her one night, and I said, how's the job going? I'm going to have to quit that job. She was all frazzled. And I said, what's wrong? Well, you know, they got this manager. He's like 18 years old, and, you know, he's telling me how to do that. I've been cooking since I was 15 years old. And of course, you know, she was Italian, so you know how Italians are about their cooking. You know, and he's saying this, and he's saying that. And I said, whoa, 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 slow down a minute. I said, you work for him. Yeah, but I said, it doesn't matter. I said, if he wants you to make the burger where it's two patties with a bun in the middle, that's what you do. She goes, yeah, but I said, you're the employee. You're there to do what he says to do. You know, and it took her a little while to like get over it. It's like, that's what you're there for, to do what they want to do, to be faithful in carrying out that burger business. Okay? Look at James chapter 1. And by the way, her mother was like a cook you would not believe. Oh my gosh. Kathy learned a lot of cooking lessons from that girl's mom. What was her name? Everybody called her Fanny. It was Philomena. Philomena Oriani. Anyway, how do we get on that? Food, I know. All right, so we're in. Thanks for your patience with me. James chapter 1, verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness. Boy, this keeps coming up, doesn't it? Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So just be a hearer of the word, you're deceiving yourself. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He's like someone looking in the mirror, for he beholds himself and goeth his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man, this woman, shall be blessed in his deed. Not forgetting, but day after day after day, being faithful to do what God's word says. There's a place in the Old Testament, maybe it's in Isaiah, where God is saying, my people have forgotten me for days without number. For God to say that, after all that God did for his people. We don't want to be like that, do we? So, being faithful, what does that look like? So, what does it look like, being faithful? Well, perhaps most important, we're faithful to take time, to read and study God's Word. And that's so important. It's like the believers in Berea, it says that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and then searched the scriptures whether those things were so. So very important to read and study God's word. It's wonderful that we get together on Sundays, but it's like the rest of the time, we take time to read and study God's word. And we're faithful to make time and take time to pray, to talk to our Father. And when we pray, we, of course, praise God and thank God for what he's done. That's part of prayer. We ask for his help. We offer prayers to him for others, because it's not all about me. And also in prayer, we ask him if there's anything we could do for him today. God, is there anything you would like for me to do for you today? Day by day, we pray. And, you know, it's not just carving out a little five-minute slot in the morning, this is my prayer time. Okay. It's praying throughout the day, talking to our Father. Someone once said, prayer is a continual conversation with God. I like that. What else? Well, we're faithful to operate the Spirit that he gave us. You know, and if a person's just starting out and they're just speaking in tongues, good, do that a lot. Paul said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. That guy spoke in tongues a lot, right? So we read and study God's word. We pray. We operate the Spirit of God. We love people. We serve people. We speak God's word. Look at Romans 12. A verse that I know we're familiar with, but I just want to look at this in light of faithfulness. Romans 12. It says, I beseech you, which means I implore you, I lovingly implore you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. God doesn't want us to die. Jesus died for us. God wants us to live. We're no good to God if we die. Can't do anything. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, or better translated, don't be fashioned by this age, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Being faithful means we renew our minds. And how can we renew our minds to that good and acceptable and perfect will of God if we don't know that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? How are we going to know it unless we read and study God's word to find that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? And do that faithfully. Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 14. This is God's will for you and for me, that we henceforth be no more children. In other words, God wants us to grow up. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, who is the head, even Christ. God wants us to grow up. And how can we speak the truth if we don't know the truth? How do we know the truth? By reading and studying God's word. Because God doesn't want us to get carried away with all the baloney that's going on. And the only way to do that is to be faithful at reading and studying God's word. If you don't, you will get talked out of the word that you've heard and known. You'll get talked out of it if you don't stay faithful at studying and reading and God's word. You'll get talked out of it. We all know people who have. And then verse 16, the head, Christ, verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Isn't that awesome? God wants each one of us to grow up so we can supply what's needed in the body of Christ. And every believer, regardless of circumstances, has something to offer, to give, to supply to the body. How do I know? Because that's what he just said. He didn't say some of the members supply. Every member supplies. Every one of us is important. And it says in, you know what it says in 1 Corinthians 12. Right? The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. Right? We're all important. We're all needed. God needs you. So stay faithful. Look at Colossians chapter 3. You know, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians is a section. Like Romans, Corinthians, Galatians is doctrine, reproof, correction. Ephesians section is Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, right? Doctrine, reproof, correction. So we just read some doctrine in Ephesians. We're going to look at a couple of verses in the reproof, but in Colossians, it is the correction. And the correction is what gets you back to the right believing. Reproof shows you where you're missing it. Correction shows you how to get back to it. So we're going to read the correction first and then a few verses in the reproof. Did I lose you?
Nope.
Good. This is a great section, I think, on what does faithfulness look like. Colossians 3. If ye then, or since you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection, your thoughts on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, oh, wouldn't it be great today? Then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Until then, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in the which you also, sometime, when you lived in them, in the which ye also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now, we're born again ones, ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. It is Christ in you. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on the love of God, charity, agape, the love of God, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. And then verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. How can the word of Christ dwell in you richly if you don't know it? The only way for it to dwell richly is by reading and studying, making the time and taking the time. Remember what it says in 1 Peter 3? We could look at that for just a second. That be ready verse. Are you ready? Are you ready? 1 Peter 3. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That's kind of cool. Sanctify means to set apart for a purpose. 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. How do you do that? By putting the word in your heart. And then it says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That's humility and reverence. Humility and reverence. We're not cocky because we know a Bible verse. I know some scripture. Well, good for you. But isn't that cool? How can we be ready if we're not allowing the word of Christ to dwell in us richly? We won't be ready. So God needs you and he needs me. He needs all of us. The world is insane. Anybody object to that statement? The world's crazy. The world's insane. But you know what? We are God's people who happen to be living at this time in history. Here we are. This is the time. I mean, it'd be nice if everything just got all good, you know. But here we are. We're God's people living in this time in history. We're God's people. And God needs you. God needs me. God needs all of us. God needs faithful believers to shine as lights in this world. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. And neither should we be ashamed of the gospel. And this verse is great that we're ready to give an answer to anybody that asks us a reason of, with meekness and fear, with reverence to God, with humility to God, not being egotistical like Aaron and Miriam were. So that's the balance. We shine as lights. But we're not ashamed to speak God's word. Not at all. So let's go to Philippians. This is a reproof epistle. And in Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2 is talking about Jesus Christ, who obeyed God, served God. Verse 7 of Philippians 2, talking about Jesus Christ, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man, likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Humble and obedient to God. That's being faithful. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Oh, the day's coming when it'll happen. I don't care what kind of shenanigans people want to do, what they want to promote, what they want to post, what they want to... There's a day coming on your knees to Jesus Christ our Lord. We're not there yet, so don't let something shock you too much. I gotten to the point, Kathy and I used to talk about it. Nothing shocks me anymore. It's nothing. Nothing. Things that go on. It's no more surprises. What else? Anyway, every knee is going to bow. Now, things in heaven, and things in the earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, after talking about Jesus Christ and his wonderful, obedient, humble service to God, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There it is again, that reverence and humility. And that work out, that doesn't mean you have to, we're saved by grace, right? Not by works. The word salvation means deliverance, and the deliverance that's spoken of here, the salvation here, is the deliverance they needed from the persecutions they were going through in Philippi. And you can read about some of that in chapter 1. So work out your own deliverance. God will deliver you. So work that out with reverence and trembling. For it is, verse 13, God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Was this true just for the Philippian believers? That's the only ones that God is going to work in. No, this is for all of us. God is at work in you. In you, 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 in me. God is at work in you to will and do of His good pleasure. And the next verse says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Context. What's the context? Is this talking about doing the dishes without murmuring and disputing, or doing the laundry, or do? What's the context? God is at work in you to will and do of His good pleasure. So do all things that God is working in you without murmurings and disputings. Why? That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation or generation, among whom you shine as lights in this world. Isn't that something? Wow. And then it says, holding forth the word of life. And that holding forth could be also translated holding on to, fixing our attention on, holding fast to the word of life. That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I've not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Paul's saying, stay faithful so that all the work that I put into giving you God's word isn't just gone. Stay faithful to God's word. God is at work in you. How? By way of the Spirit of God in us, by way of the manifestations of Holy Spirit. So, we pray throughout the day, checking in with our Father, see if there's any information. I remember years ago, Reverend Gere did a Gartmore Weekly teaching, and it was called, I think the title was, Have You Checked Your R-Mail? Instead of email? R-Mail, Revelation Mail. Have you checked in? Have you asked God? Is there something I need to know? Is there someone I need to help? Is there something I can do for you? God is at work within you to will and do of His good pleasure. And then the next verse, do all things without murmurings and disputing. What a wonderful word of God we have. We stay faithful to our loving God and Father. We're faithful to be about His business. We show up every day for God. And you know something to remember, and that is that our loving God is a faithful God. Many verses tell us that. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, God is faithful. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. 2 Thessalonians 3 says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we'll close in Hebrews. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. We serve a faithful God, a reliable God, a trustworthy God. A God who, the scriptures say, cannot lie. Hebrews 10. It says in verse 23, let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Hold fast. Stay put. Stay faithful. Don't budge. Day by day, doing what we know to do. We read the Word. We study the Word. We pray. We pray throughout the day. We manifest the Spirit of God. We look for ways to serve and love and bless people. And I don't know, about 15 minutes before fellowship started, I was thinking about this verse I was going to share, and then I went, oh, what about the next chapter in Hebrews, which is all about faithful believers? By faith Abraham, by faith Noah, by faith, by faith, by faith. And when you get to then chapter 13, it says, chapter 12, after Hebrews 11 has all those by faith, by faith, by faith, all that. Somebody once called that the Hall of Fame of believers. Great, faithful people, that whole chapter. And you get to chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, the witnesses from chapter 11, great examples of faithful people, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You haven't resisted unto blood. Nobody's nailing you to a tree. Sometimes we feel like it, right? But God's saying, look, don't buckle. Don't fall down. Get up and keep moving. Stay faithful. God needs you. We are his people at this day and time, whether it's good times or insanity that we see everywhere we look. Well, we need to shine as lights. A reliable mechanic may change and become an unreliable mechanic. A trustworthy handyman may change and no longer be trustworthy. A faithful employee may get a wild hair and no longer be a faithful employee. But our God is and always will be faithful. We can trust his word. And so as children of the Most High God, let's follow the examples that we know of, especially the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. We read a little bit about that in Philippians. And the example of Moses, who was faithful in all of God's house. The example of Paul and many others in God's word. Let's show up for God every day. Let's fight the good fight until we finish our course, and let's stay faithful. Father, thank you for your wonderful word, for the great encouragement it gives us to just stand for you, to be faithful day by day. May we continue to be faithful to go to your word and see what your word has to say to us. May we be faithful to pray, to continue to talk to you and listen for your voice. May we operate the Spirit of God. May we love people. May we serve people. And God, may we have open doors to bring the greatness of the light of your word to those who want to know. Thanks for the privilege of teaching this morning. I ask you to bless all of those who are here in this room, those on the hookup, and those that may hear the recording later. Thank you for being such a loving, great, faithful God. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. Anybody got any questions or comments?
Wonderful. Just wonderful.
God's word is so wonderful. Y'all know Miriam got leprosy after that incident.
Yeah.
And Aaron was like, yeah. And Moses prayed. And she got healed.
Just to get your attention.
And I think they shut up after that.
Gave them an attitude adjustment.
Yes. I don't know if it really had anything to do with the Ethiopian woman.
Yeah.
It kind of seemed like, I mean, how does that... It was ego. It was ego.
Wasn't one of the 12 tribes.
What?
Oh, the Ethiopian woman? Oh, yeah, because she's an outsider or whatever.
Yeah.
Wasn't she Jethro's daughter? Had to be.
Probably a wonderful woman.
Yeah. Probably none of your business.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much it, right?
And on that, amen. Ha ha ha.